Are the Vegas Golden Knights dirty, dirty cheaters, or did they just find a convenient loophole? Welcome back to the Pucked Up Podcast, y'all. I am quite obviously the host for today, since I'm doing all the goddamn talking. My name's Dee. I am joined today by my co-host, Chris, handsome as ever.
It me. Unfortunately, oh, stop it.
Unfortunately, Danger is not able to make this recording today. Life be lifin'. And so we are sending our thoughts to her and to her family and everything. She's beautiful. We love her. She's the best. And she'll be back soon. So,
yeah.
We have, like, kind of a lot, kind of not a lot, just, like, things are happening in the hockey world right now. Yeah, it's been a very interesting start to the postseason, and obviously by that spicy, spicy question at the beginning, you guys know one of the topics we're going to be talking about. But yeah, there's just been some things happening.
And we finally have an update to the question that we've had for like the past two or three
multiple weeks.
I guess seeing as I was the one that constantly reported on it, I'll be the one to say it if you guys miss it. Literally the next day after recording last week,
it was announced
because of course that's why we record on Tuesdays. We should try to record earlier, but the way our scheduling doesn't work. We finally know the sad truth that the Arizona Coyotes have played their last game. Yeah. It was announced last week that Ryan Smith, owner of the Utah Jazz, will officially be purchasing the Arizona Coyotes and moving them to Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yep.
It's heartbreaking. It is. Yeah. It's heartbreaking because you and I are old enough to remember, I guess a little bit, the Coyotes first starting. And it was just like,
I'm old enough to remember Gretzky as head coach.
Yep.
Incredible.
We're old enough
time
to remember the fucking Whalers. Probably me more so, because obviously it was a lot bigger of a deal here.
Clearly.
But like, when was the last team to relocate was what? Winnipeg?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to remember dates of everything. Yeah.
Yeah, they would have to be the last ones because Vegas and Seattle are expansion teams.
They're brand new.
So I would say the Jets would be the last, most recent with moving from Atlanta.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, it's hilarious that Atlanta didn't work twice and both times they ended up in Canada.
Well, it's also just,
that's funny to me.
That's the funnier part.
The Atlanta Flames are in Calgary. The Atlanta Thrashers.
They had to get as far away as possible.
Yeah. Surprised neither of them went to Alaska.
Right.
So
ended up in fucking Mexico. I don't know.
How do you feel about this?
So I'm sad for a couple of reasons. I think that the way it all went down was extra shitty. I think the players knew to an extent that their team was being disbanded, so to speak. But they were barred from talking about it. And I think they were really barred from being able to make everything a moment. Like, we all saw the whole team come out on ice for their last game, take that picture at center ice. But I don't think they celebrated it enough. And they should have been given that opportunity to do so.
I agree.
Should have been given the opportunity to make it more of a moment for the fans as well, to be able to host things like maybe Biz coming back and some of their other, was it Sloan was the jersey they retired?
Shane Doan.
Yes. They should have made a moment with him. Like, they should have done something for these fans who come from an area that needed hockey. You know what I mean? It was so underrepresented. And then it finally gave, you know, a ton of kids a dream. You know what I mean? Hopes that one day they make it into the NHL. Or into the PWHL, even though that might not have existed at that time, but still, it gives them that hope that they can go out and play hockey.
Yeah.
And now that dream has gone away, or at least it's less convenient. I mean, where's the next easiest place for them to go to watch NHL hockey?
They're
not anywhere that's financially feasible for many of these kids. And so I think that they owed their fans something more than what they got. So that's sad. It's sad to me to see the way that it was reported on as well. You know what I mean?
It is sad. It made it harder because, you had all these conflicting reports. And I think it made it even harder to know that it's like the fans, no one cared anymore.
No.
It just that
the fans definitely cared. The fans felt like nobody cared about them, and especially management. And I think it's super shitty that the management for that team has been able to retain rights to the Arizona Coyotes in some ways. Like they can try again. And I think that's shitty. I don't think that they deserve it.
They
mismanaged that team.
It's funny that you say that because Paul Bissonnette was actually pretty emotional in one of the intermission reports. And for those that don't know, Biz played 5 years with the Arizona Coyotes. He went on actually multiple different places, including Pat McAfee. And he said just a few quotes. He said, "Losing the Coyotes is brutal for the hockey fans in Phoenix. I was there for a long time playing and on the media side. It just sucks because all of the amazing people that I got to work with there, and I hope that they eventually get the team back. I know he went on to say, I hope with new management," he goes, I hope that the ownership before doesn't get another opportunity. He did praise Ryan Smith, which I did like. He said, with Smith wanting to put his own money and resources into building that new arena and new area, I think they're going to get tons of fan support, and it's going to be a first-class organization with a lot of forward thinking. Smith is 10 steps ahead of the next guy. He's a brilliant mind, and the fact that he's going to have both teams out of the same building, I do think it's going to have a community support, and it's going to be successful. So,
yeah.
I like that he's optimistic.
But absolutely.
I do actually want to hold Coyotes fans accountable in some sense. It's like, if you wanted to prove that they mattered that much to you, why have your seats been empty for years?
Yeah.
Like, I understand that they're bad. And yes, that's tough to watch. It is really hard to watch. Trust me, as a Ducks fan, I've been dealing with it for a few years now. But
yeah,
if you want to keep something, you have to support that thing. And you have to show that you care about that thing. So empty seats in their old arena, it's like, at what point do Coyotes fans look at themselves and go, maybe we played a part in this?
I mean, yes, but I think that role is much smaller than management's role, because the reason why they stopped going is because of terrible mismanagement of players, of coaches, of resources and facilities. And I mean, I'm not going to show up to an arena that is severely out of date. I'm not going to show up to an arena that, or for a team, I should say, that isn't wanting to win, kind of, it looked like. I mean, the last couple of years for the Coyotes have been rough.
What it felt like, yeah.
It felt like they didn't want to win. And then, you know, you hear all these trade rumors going around. You get, like, what we had huge headlines last year. With Chychrun wanting to leave. Chychrun. And it's like, you finally get a player who can actually do something for your team. And it's made very clear that he doesn't want to fucking be there. And so I'm going to be like, okay, our players don't want to be here. Our coaches don't want to be here.
Yeah, because let's be honest, how long does Logan Cooley want to stick around if they suck? And he's their star young guy that's going to take them into the next. How long does he want to chill there if they're doing bad? And like,
so at some point that has to be a wake up call for management. If you have empty seats, it's because you're doing something wrong. You're either not captivating enough for your audience because you're not involved enough in their community, or Your marketing sucks ass, which, let's be honest, Coyote's marketing never really been all that thrilling. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, their social media was fun, but like actual marketability, makes it tough. Like, it does. They showed promise this year, but like, you got to capitalize. You can't just finish that poorly.
Right.
Just like, I don't know. So, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. As someone who lives in a state that lost their hockey team, and also watching a sports team I like in my own personal experiences get moved away. I mean, granted, it's lacrosse, but it's still like it's a team you're loyal to, you see a lot, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
I'm
happy for the fans of Utah to be able to now have access to a sport that they previously didn't. That's incredible, and I'm so excited for the Utah community to be able to get in on that. And I hope that they fully take advantage of it. It's worth acknowledging. And I do have to say, there was some game, I don't remember who it was, but there was someone in a Coyotes jersey in the audience, and the camera panned to him, and it was like, you're, you know, this many thousands of miles from Utah. I was like, that's kind of shitty. Like, let us all have a moment. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you seen it?
I have. I do want to make sure I buy something off the NHL, like, shop site of the Coyotes just to have. Like, I'll probably buy a hat or something, but just to have, because...
pair of socks, you know. Yeah.
Who knows?
Right.
It took the NHL how many years to go back to Winnipeg?
Yeah.
For the Winnipeg Jets returned, so, like...
Right.
But I you just like
it, happen.
It breaks my heart. My heart goes out to Coyotes fans, and I hope that they stick with their team and support them regardless. If it's too painful, I understand. I hope you find another 100% team to like. Just don't give up on the sport, because I do want to thank the original owners for bringing the NHL to the desert and giving us great memories with some excellent games with the Coyotes, and probably the best fucking jersey of the last like 30 years. That Kachina jersey it's perfect. That is such an iconic look, and I'm glad that they at least for what's their final season got to wear the jersey that it all started
with. For like a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. No, absolutely. All right, let's jump into some PWHL news. Obviously, they're still going strong. They have quite a few games coming up. Reminder, you can watch them all for free on YouTube. So check out the games coming up for the rest of this week and this weekend before they head into their playoff tournament as well. But this week, the week of April 15th through April 21st, we have our three stars. Our third star is Aaron Frankel, goalie for Boston. Frankel is named the third star of the week for the second time this season after backstopping Boston to two regulation wins last week, with their team fighting for a playoff spot. Frankel posted a goals against average of 1.00 and a save percentage of 0.959, which helped her team earn 6 points in the standings. They now sit two behind fourth place, Ottawa, for the final playoff position. In our first game of the week, Frankel made 23 saves against first place Toronto to secure a 2-1 win. The 24-year-old followed up that performance by making 24 saves against New York in another 2-1 win, keeping Boston in a tight playoff race with Ottawa. Frankel now sits second in the PWHL in goals against average, allowing just 1.94 goals per game in 16 starts. She's tied for third in league in wins with 7, save percentage with 0.936, and minutes played with 925 minutes and 52 seconds. Our second star of the week is Brianne Jenner, a right winger and center out of Ottawa. Jenner is named one of the PWHL's three stars of the week for the third time in 4 weeks. She was named the second star for the week ending March 25th and third star for the week ending March 10th. Ottawa's captain played in only one game last week against Minnesota, but she made it count, recording her first ever PWHL hat trick. Jenner opened the scoring in the first period with a key matchup for her team. They entered the game 1 point behind Boston, who occupied the league's final playoff position. She then added goals in the second and third period, leading Ottawa to a convincing 4-0 win against the league's second place team. With the win, her team holds on to the final playoff position with 4 games remaining. And Jenner has 3 goals, which were the most among all PWHL players last week, as the 32-year-old continued her ascent into the PWHL scoring race. After recording 3 straight multi-point games and 2 or more points in the last 5 of her 6 games, Jenner now sits 4th in league in points with 8 goals, 10 assists through 20 games played. And lastly, for our first star, we have Erin Ambrose, a defenseman out of Montreal. Ambrose is named first star of the week for the first time this season after the defender had 5 points, which was 1 goal and 4 assists, in 2 games played this week, highlighted by a 4-assist effort against Minnesota on April 18th. Overall, Ambrose led all PWHL players in points and assists for the week, and her strong output moved her into the first place in the PWHL for scoring among defenders with 15 points. In her team's first game of the week on April 18th, Ambrose was a key figure in a thrilling 4-3 comeback win over Minnesota, which the defender played on every Montreal goal in the game, including 3 on the power play. She became the first player in PWHL history with 4 assists in a single game and the first player to hit the 4-point mark in a single game as well. In her team's second game of the week, the record-breaking duel at the top in front of 21,105 fans at the Bell Center, Ambrose went from playmaker to goal scorer as a 29-year-old tied the game in the second period with a power play marker, her first of the season. Ambrose now sits tied for second in team scoring as well as in the assist category league-wide. So shout out to the girls over there having a bit of a moment.
Hell yeah.
And closing in on their playoff start as well. So we'll be sure to cover what the final teams are once we have those locked in. As we said, they still have a few more games before we'll have those numbers in. I do also want to take a moment, since we're talking about the girls, to congratulate the first ever female cupkeeper. So the Stanley Cupkeeper is someone who travels with a cup throughout the entire year to make sure that when the boys pour 2 bottles of Jack Daniels, that it's cleaned properly after they do a keg stand.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and I am so sorry if I mispronounced your name. I did try and look it up, and as best as I can tell, it's Mira Bitove.
Okay.
M-A-R-A-G-H-B-I-T-O-V-E. She is the first ever female cupkeeper, which is kind of awesome. She has been, I believe, if I remember correctly, she has been in the Hockey Hall of Fame as an archivist for like 18 years or something insane.
That's nuts.
So she clearly knows what the fuck she's doing, which is why she's been given the position. So we're going to see her a lot more as we get as the season ends and the cup starts traveling around with all these players. So that's just really cool. Just a little another moment of women doing cool shit in the sport. So I wanted to highlight that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen,
do you know off the top of your head what the capacity is for the Bell Center?
Is it 21,105?
It is.
I wonder how I knew that.
You know, that's a good question. Maybe because it was a sellout.
Sold out arena.
Like, I feel like people aren't understanding how big of a deal that is. The Bell Center is the home of the Montreal Canadiens.
23-time Stanley Cup champions.
The most successful franchise in NHL history.
Yeah. Not
you
lately,
go to Montreal. Yeah, it's been a long time. 30 years.
Let's keep it going.
Actually, yeah, let's not going to be this year. We're going to make it more than, literally, it's been 31 years. Yeah. So it'll be 30, it'll be 31, 32 years. It'll be probably 40. But the Montreal Canadiens, that place sells out almost every game, even when they suck.
Yeah.
Over 21,000. That's fucking crazy. Like, I saw that number and I got so hyped because I'm like, I've been such a big advocate as well as you and Danger for women's sports. And I'm like, this is such a big fucking deal, especially for their first season.
Yeah, dude.
Like the hype
the
is
fact
so
that, like,
real.
Every single time they get into a bigger and better arena, and better only because of the capacity, into bigger and bigger arenas, it doesn't matter. There's no stopping it. Not only did it sell out, but there are people who were upset they couldn't get tickets. They tried and failed. You know what I mean? They weren't struggling to sell out. They sold out quickly. And I think that can't be overstated enough.
Just so we're in, you know, aware The second largest, it looks like, in the world capacity arena for hockey is the Bell Center.
Mm-hmm.
By 400 seats behind SKA Arena in St. Petersburg, Russia. So,
which I don't think we're going there anytime
soon. No, but like, y'all sold out the second largest one in the world, the biggest arena in the NHL. They sold out.
The biggest arena that they have access to, for sure.
Is fucking crazy. So I was super hyped.
Which I think this only means that next year we should see more games. You know, they've had a short schedule this year. I think that before we see an expansion draft, which we will see within the next 3 to 5 years, I have no doubt.
But yeah, they need to establish more games.
They need to establish more games and listen to that fan base that clearly fucking wants it. And just how cool.
Gotta give the people what they want.
Hell yeah. More women's sports.
Hell yeah.
I'm all in. And yeah, and we're seeing GMs from current NHL teams be like, the second they open up bids for an expansion, we're in.
We want in.
We're bringing women's hockey to Washington, to like all of these other.
I feel like
all these
Pittsburgh
other
might be next.
Maybe.
I think Pittsburgh, what was the other one that they like had a crazy sellout in?
I could see them trying to get some West teams started because we've already got like Canada LA. And the East Coast kind of covered. So I see us either moving further down south to a Florida, putting another fucking team in Florida, or out to LA, or possibly even Seattle. I think women's sports, women's hockey, they have a Seattle team.
Would crush in Seattle.
Would crush.
And they wouldn't have to do much except for just let them play at Climate Pledge Arena already. That they have a fucking already set hockey
brand
arena.
Brand spanking new, yeah.
Brand new. Well, yeah. I mean, it's newly renovated. It might as well be brand new.
Brand new for hockey.
It's new to
which
them.
Which is what counts here. Yeah.
Yeah, it's new to them.
Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Very excited for that. But speaking of playoffs, Chris, you want to give us a little bit of an update as to where we stand? Because I think, as of the last episode, we weren't sure what the final outcome was going to be for standings. And then, of course, immediately after finishing, there were standings updates.
Oh, yeah. Playoffs? Playoffs? You want to talk about playoffs? Wrong sport.
Yeah, why would I do that?
Wrong sport. We'll talk about playoffs. What is that? Have you ever seen that quote from Jim Mora when he coached the Indianapolis Colts?
No.
Someone asked about playoffs. He goes, playoffs? Playoffs? Are you kidding me? I don't want to talk about playoffs. We got to win a fucking game first. So it's so memeable. Everything is always like, playoffs. I'll show it to you after we're done recording.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes, all 16 teams are officially locked and loaded. Your Eastern Conference games look as the Florida Panthers have to play the Tampa Bay Lightning, which is hilarious.
I love a Florida-Florida mashup.
I know. I love the next one, which is just kind of tradition in the NHL at this point. The Boston Bruins are facing the Toronto Maple Leafs. In the Metro side, the New York Rangers have to play the Washington Capitals, or are currently in the middle of playing the Capitals. Yep, the Carolina Hurricanes are playing the New York Islanders.
Go Canes.
Right?
They're winning right now.
I know, I saw. on the Western Conference side, guys, I might be having a stroke. I can't decide.
Just a small one.
A little mini stroke. The Dallas Stars are playing the Vegas Golden Knights. The Winnipeg Jets are playing the Colorado Avalanche. Vancouver Canucks are facing the Nashville Predators, and the Edmonton Oilers are facing off against the Los Angeles Kings. Now, we have already since played a bunch of games. Florida's up one game to nothing over Tampa. It is a series tie 1-1 between Boston and Toronto. The Rangers have a 2-0 lead over the Washington Capitals. Yeah. The Hurricanes have a 2-0 lead over the Islanders. Ooh. Vegas is up 1-0 in their series. Winnipeg is up 1-0 in their series. Vancouver is up 1-0 in their series. And the Edmonton Oilers are game up over the Kings.
Yeah.
You obviously are feeling some sort of way.
I'm feeling some sort of way for a lot of fucking reasons right now. Stupid fucking fans, man. I swear to God.
Dude, people are stupid.
People are dumb. But Yeah, I mean, I love playoff hockey. This is always such a fun time. These games are nerve-wracking. Being down 2-0 in a series is nothing new to the Washington Capitals. I think I saw a stat earlier today that said that when we go to Madison Square Arena this year, we lose. When they come to Capital One Arena, they lose.
Have you guys not won in the Garden yet this year?
I think we're 0-3 in the Garden this year.
That's rough.
Yeah.
You got to win one in MSG. Like, that's...
this year was not our year. And right now, we are on a losing streak. So I think that makes us 0-4 at the Garden after tonight's loss. But we have a record of beating the Rangers. So all this means to me is that we're forcing a Game 7. And if I lose in a Game 7, I'm fucking proud as hell. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, because...
I said this to someone the other day. We should not have been there. If I'm going to lose in round one of the playoffs to the Rangers, I'm taking them to Game 7 so that they're tired when they face off against the winners of the Canes Islanders matchup.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
100%.
I'm setting the Canes up for a quick win in round two. That's what's happening here. And that's fine with me. If we lose like that, A-okay. Cool with it. I will say real quick, if I'm going to place bets on who I want to win, I want Florida Panthers to take it.
Okay.
I obviously want to see the Boston Bruins win just because I think that's fucking funny. Although also seeing them lose would be hilarious. So any outcome there is an acceptable outcome.
You know what? I agree.
To see the Caps win. Not going to happen. Obviously rooting for the Canes, especially with Orly and Kuzi playing for them now. I think that's great. I want to see Dallas beat Vegas only because of a topic we're going to talk about later. Rooting for the Jets because I do think that it would be great to see a Canadian team make it all the way to the final. Rooting for the Preds because why not? Let's give
the
an
Preds
underdog
are
a
fucking,
shot.
Dude, I'm telling you, no one's talking about the Predators.
Yeah. And then I guess I'll root for Edmonton. I just know they're not going to make it, but I'll root for them to beat the Kings.
I mean, out of
allegiance to you and your rivalry.
I appreciate that. You're welcome. I mean, I think the Panthers are going to move on. I feel like the Boston-Toronto series can go either way because I feel like Toronto's that type of team that if they're going to get their shit sorted out, it's going to be now. I would like to, for your sake, obviously we've discussed, I'm not exactly a massive Capitals fan just because of my upbringing with my dad who's a Penguins fan. But 100%. I mean, the tale of two tapes, like, it'd be cool to see, obviously being from the tri-state area, I guess, technically speaking, for like New York, I wouldn't hate seeing the Rangers go all the way. I would like to see Washington maybe make another round run.
Just for the story of it all.
Yeah.
Worst differential making it pretty far is pretty funny.
The worst statistical team to make the playoffs in NHL history.
Ever, period. Yeah.
If they can make a nice little run, you just be like, fuck all y'all. We weren't even supposed to be here.
Right.
I think it comes down to Carolina and Florida in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Okay.
I obviously picked Vegas to win, so I'm
you're committed.
I committed to that when I said it at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, you did.
I normally, you know, I wouldn't pick against the Avalanche, but the Winnipeg Jets have been really good this year. So I'm going to go Winnipeg. I'm going to pick Nashville on that one. Nashville and Edmonton. I think it ends up being Nashville, Vegas. I've been getting a lot of flack from people I know in my personal circle about my prediction with the Bruins. Listen. Yeah. I want to make this clear. This has nothing to do with me not being a New England sports fan. I'm not using any sort of bias here.
Right.
To say that I'm not picking the Bruins. I'm not picking the Bruins because they continuously show me that they're not fucking good enough to get it done.
I mean, also, it is the funniest outcome to have them be swept from, not, I don't think they were swept fully. They went, what,
completely
six games?
Like,
but like completely kicked out first round 2 years in a row after just fucking dominating. It's a funny, funny bit.
And the retribution for Maple Leafs fans would be like, ha 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 ha, finally. Yeah. But like, I want this to be clear to everyone. I want the Bruins to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
I want them to go win the cup so I can be like, you know what? I'm going to eat my words on this. You guys showed me. I made my bed.
Series tied. 1-1.
And they didn't look that great game two.
Yeah. No. No. It was a much closer game, though. Obviously, it was a 4-point difference first game. Second game, 1 point. But still.
It's still
kind
like
of embarrassing.
This should be easy for them. Like, they should walk through Toronto.
It should be like breathing.
And it's no disrespect to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, no. No,
they're
no.
a great organization, but holy shit. Have you guys been struggling this year?
Fucking sleeping on it, yeah.
So, I just... And then if you win, guess who you have to play? Either Toronto, or either Tampa, or the Panthers.
Yeah.
Guess how that's going to go? Shitty. Because the Panthers only got better.
I know. Yeah, it sucks when you're rooting for the Panthers, but, you know. Because I feel like I'm rooting for the Tkachuk brothers, you know what I mean? And I don't want to, because
I can't stand either of them.
Yeah. That's no fun. But since we're on the topic of playoff stuff, why don't we jump into talking a little bit about the situation there in Vegas? We mentioned it a little bit last week, but he wasn't officially back on ice, and now he has been. So
not only been back on ice, he scored a goal.
Yeah. After having a fucking lacerated spleen.
So, Mark Stone of the Vegas Golden Knights, 2 weeks before the trade deadline, went out with a lacerated spleen, was placed on long-term IR, was not quite sure on what the deal was going to be there. So what do they do? Well, they're like, well, we're missing one of our biggest playmakers.
Yep.
Make some moves at the trade deadline, which they went out and got Noah Hanifin and Tomas Hertl.
And Anthony Mantha. Who made a return to actually playing this year.
Yeah. And then playoff comes. Now, I called this.
You did. Full props to you.
A couple days before the playoffs, boom. Mark Stone is available for the postseason. There are some questions on what the deal was with the injury, if he was actually injured, if there was surgery of some kind, like what could have caused him in 2 months to come back from a lacerated spleen?
Yeah. To come back and be at top performance, scoring goals.
He looked really good. Let me grab his stats while I think about it from that game.
Not only did he score, but it was the first goal, by the way.
Yeah.
Of the game.
First goal of the game. Box score. Mark Stone, he had one goal, no assists. He had a plus minus of minus two. He played 17 minutes.
Yeah. Insane.
Yeah, and he looked great. It looks like he only took one shot on goal, and that one shot on goal went in the net.
But he was on the ice, obviously, for some...
He was on the ice for 17 minutes.
Yeah. That is insane. And with that, his salary cap was $9.5 million. That was freed up to bring in other people. So now they are 9.5 at least. Well, I guess not at least. Because I don't remember, but they are severely over cap space right now. And it's not a problem because, well, so with the way cap stuff is determined for playoffs, there is no cap really. And
there's no rules.
Ultimately.
There's no cap
there's
penalty
no rules,
rules
about it.
Yeah.
Correct. So as long as your player is on LTIR prior to the playoffs, you can do whatever as long as you're within your cap during regular season. And then after regular season ends and postseason, you can do whatever the fuck you want. And we've seen this yeah. happen several times. We saw it with Chicago in, what, 2015? When they won their sixth
so.
Stanley Cup? I think so.
I think so. I know it was most recently with...
yes, in 2021 with Tampa
Bay. Yeah. And Nikita Kucherov, who missed most of the season.
But I believe it also happened in 2015 when they made the, when Chicago made their cup run.
It might have.
A couple of people or a couple of teams who very recently have done it in a very big way. And even last year, Vegas kind of did it and also won.
And
because
listen,
they had all those injuries last year.
It's I understand the frustration of the fans. And I get it. Vegas technically didn't do anything wrong. They are anything wrong because they are not breaking any rules. And who's to say that this was a malicious thing? This could have just been happenstance. You know, like there is no guarantee. Do we all know it's most likely? You know, this, yes, is most likely this scenario, but they're not technically doing anything wrong.
Yeah. So I guess that's kind of leads into our question of the week. So they're obviously not the first team and they obviously didn't break any rules. But should there be rules to discourage this kind of behavior?
I think there should be some sort of rule put in place. Mm-hmm. I sent you something earlier today and Jesse Pollock of Bar Down TSN. Jesse, if you're not listening to us, you should be. Bitch, you got a shout out 2 weeks in
Call
a row.
You directly, yeah.
Directly. You and your love with Jeff Bookaboom. I'm just kidding. We love the Bar Down squad. Those guys are awesome. But he proposed an idea that, what was it? It was with the last five games of the season, if you are on long-term IR and not ready to go, but you're back for the playoffs, you should, however many games before you missed, you should have to do that. Like if you miss like three games before like the regular season ends and you're on, then you have to miss three games per or like three games in the playoffs. It's like, all right, that's fair. I thought that a cap penalty for the next season would be good to get, kind of like MLB, how they do the luxury tax. If you go over that certain amount, you have to pay to the league. I think if you have a player in that situation and that's what happens, I think you should have a cap penalty for the next season and nothing crazy. I think it should depend on how far you go.
Right.
I would say if you anywhere from the first round to the Stanley Cup Finals, anywhere from $250,000 to like $1 million. I'd say if you win the Stanley Cup, that's $1 million cap hit, cap fine.
So I would, because I was thinking about that too, and I was thinking about it in the way that I know we're about to get hit next season with some cap hits because of bonuses that we issued to Patches, especially. He ate up like almost $2 million. I think it should be more in line with that. So if we're going to do some sort of a cap hit the next year, I think it goes on a percentage of the overage of the cap that you had during your playoff run. So if all in during your playoffs you went over by 2.5 million and you won the Stanley Cup, you're paying 2.5 million in cap hit the next year.
Okay.
If you made it halfway through, you pay half of that 2.5. If you made it a quarter of the way through, you make a quarter of that 2.5. So whatever your overage is, you pay the percentage of the that you went through for your cup run. And that's the hit that you take. And if you win, you're responsible for all of it. You went over, you now have to get rid of that excess for the next year.
Yeah.
That would be my suggestion. But I do think that there should be something. And unfortunately, the collective bargaining agreement doesn't expire until 2026, I believe. So we won't see a solution to this for another 2 years. But I do think that this will be talked about because of the publicity around the two most recent examples of when this happened.
Oh, last season Stone was sidelined with what was described as an upper body injury on January 3rd, placed on long-term IR on February 1st. It was another back injury that ended his regular season, though Stone was ready to go for Winnipeg at game one of the playoffs and logged 21 minutes of ice time. The Golden Knights were able to acquire Ivan Barbashev at the trade deadline. About half the NHL was over the cap for using some of their LTIR pool by the end of the season. This is not a unique situation this season. So, again, everybody's fucking doing this.
I just think that everyone should fucking stop. It's my thing.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it is a very unfair thing to do.
Yeah.
But what's hilarious now is the obvious notion of the only reason we're publicizing this is because Vegas won the Stanley Cup last year.
Yeah. Because After employing some of the same tactics.
Yeah.
Not anything as obvious as Mark Stone, but...
But how many of the teams in the league have done this? How many other teams in the league are doing this right now?
And I agree. I think that that is problematic across the board, and I think that it should have been an issue when it first happened, or when it was first, you know, kind of a bigger deal in 2015 after Chicago did it. I think that changes should have been made then, because I don't think, for me, the one with Vegas people are especially upset about, because Mark Stone went out, they said it was a lacerated spleen, and it was presumed that with an injury that serious that you're out for a longer period of time.
You're done, yeah.
And then they made some big fucking trades because Mark was going to be out, and now they brought him back. Right?
Yeah.
When you have situations, it's less obvious if you have someone who goes out in December and is like, hey, he could be out 6 months. He could be out a whole year. We really don't know. It depends on how his rehab goes. And then they're lucky enough to make it into the playoffs, and he's lucky enough to be healthy to come back. That, to me, is easier to overlook. And is, I think, what more teams have experienced this season. But that is, I think overall there needs to be some kind of adjustment for it, especially in the language of the timing of it all. You can't go out and make a bunch of trades because of the fact that you have this injured player, and then that injured player gets to just walk back in and play like it wasn't a fucking problem.
Right. And I mean, not for nothing, but they did also find a way to re-sign Noah Hanifin for a long-term deal. Yeah. So it's, yeah, I mean, I don't think people should be upset with Vegas for finding a loophole, you know, I don't think that that's,
you can't
problem,
be mad
but...
when it, they're allowed to, but I think you can say, make a call for change.
Oh, I agree that I can agree. Like, I feel like, yes, we should absolutely be like monitoring that and paying attention to that, because we get to a point where this is the situation that we have, and this is it's not a great look for the league, but it's also like not one that's really going to change much.
No,
like overall, I before even any of this went down, I still had Vegas as my pick to win it all, because they didn't really lose anyone in the offseason.
Right.
They didn't really lose anyone. So I do feel like something should be done. Like, not so penalize anyone currently, because you can't penalize someone for something that's not a rule, but
correct
you can make a rule so this way in the future people will be deterred from trying this.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in 100% agreement. I don't think Vegas should be penalized at all.
No, because there's no need.
Because they like, can't they
first
they
off you can't prove it. You can't prove that this is what they did. Like, that's, I want to state that. Like, we can all speculate all we want, but there is no actual physical proof that this was a malicious thing to get two really good players. And because in reality, if I'm going after Tomáš Hertl and Noah Hanifin, do you know what I'm doing? I'm replacing productivity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not many players are as productive on that team as Mark Stone. There's a reason Mark Stone is there. He's their captain.
Yeah.
It makes sense. So thinking he's going to be out that long Yeah, I'm going out and replacing his assist numbers, his goal numbers, mm-hmm. and those two pickups were that.
Were helpful, but, yeah.
Yeah, and now they just happen to get him back. But they got so I don't know. I don't see it as this ever. I know so many people are up in arms, and I'm like, you can't get mad at them for technically not doing anything wrong.
Yeah. But I do think that you can then root against them. You know what I mean? That, if that's going to be your reason, I think that's a valid reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I just don't think we can't be like, well, they should get fined $1 billion or any of the other ridiculous takes I've seen.
The Houston Astros didn't lose their World Series championship after they got caught stealing fucking signs.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's a little more egregious than
100%.
That's actual cheating.
100%. Yeah.
To whereas this isn't really necessarily cheating. This is just
right. If we had a Waterboy situation where he stole the other coach's playbook and then made him, you know, lose his mind. Slowly but surely over the course of decades, then 100% fine him out the ass. But this is not Waterboy.
No.
And that did not happen.
Bobby Boucher is not
Bobby
here.
Boucher. God, I wish he was.
That movie's so
I'll be
great.
As Vicky Valancourt.
If she showed me her boobies and I like them too.
Dude, I need to rewatch that movie.
Oh my god, I haven't seen it. It's been so long.
Yeah, it's been so long. That's gotta be up
next.
Do
what's your favorite? Do what Captain Insano does. Captain Insano showing no mighty. It just pokes him in the fucking eyes. I gotta find that. I might have to watch that after this.
Yeah, it's too good. All right, so a couple more updates. The quickest update ever. Lindy Ruff back in it. He has just been named as the Sabres head coach, replacing Granato. So shout out to him. He also previously coached start, I believe,
so
in Buffalo.
He coached Buffalo from 1997 to 2013.
Yes.
Almost won them a cup. He would have won them a cup if there was a rule or if they enforced rules.
We'll talk about, we won't talk about it today because I'm too, you would
upset
get very,
about,
very spicy.
Yeah.
But listen, we'll talk about playoff enforcement of rules eventually.
And I'm happy for Lindy Ruff. You know, he was beloved with Sabres fans, and it wasn't necessarily his fault that, things didn't go his way there. There's a lot of young talent there. There's a lot to be excited for Buffalo.
Yeah.
So I think that bringing an old face back will be just what they need.
Yeah. Hey, he finished with 112 points last season with the Devils.
Yeah, so, and they made a nice little playoff run.
They did. And the Devils in New Jersey wanted something more. They won a cup.
The Devils.
So they decided. Yeah, exactly. So real quick update on that. Another quick update is we have had the announcement of the King Clancy Trophy nominees,
yes,
as well as the Bill Masterson Trophy nominees, which should I run through all of those just very quickly?
If you'd like.
Yes. Yeah. All right. So I guess I'll just take it from here. And with that, we also have the announcement of some of the NHL award nominees. The two notable ones being the King Clancy nominees, which we have. Those are all picked by the teams themselves. Obviously, the King Clancy, for those of you who don't know, is presented to the player who best exemplifies leadership qualities on and off the ice and has made a noteworthy humanitarian contribution to his community. So, the 2023-2024 King Clancy Memorial Trophy nominees are Cam Fowler of the Anaheim Ducks, Nick Bjugstad of the Arizona Coyotes, Linus Ullmark of the Boston Bruins, Alex Tuch of the Buffalo Sabres, Andrew Mangiapane of the Calgary Flames, Jacob Slavin of the Carolina Hurricanes, Connor Murphy of the Chicago Blackhawks, Cale Makar of the Colorado Avalanche, Zach Werenski of the Columbus Blue Jackets, Jake Oettinger of the Dallas Stars, Dylan Larkin of the Detroit Red Wings, Darnell Nurse of the Edmonton Oilers, shout out to his sister, Alexander Barkov of the Florida Panthers, Kevin Fiala of the Los Angeles Kings, Marc-Andre Fleury of the Minnesota Wild, Nick Suzuki of the Montreal Canadiens, Roman Josi of the Nashville Predators, Jacques Hughes of the New Jersey Devils, Anders Lee of the New York Islanders, Jacob Trouba of the New York Rangers, Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators, Scott Laughton of the Philadelphia Flyers, Brian Rust of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Luke Kunin of the San Jose Sharks, Jaden Schwartz of the Seattle Kraken, Braden Schenn of the St. Louis Blues, Nicholas Paul of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Quinn Hughes of the Vancouver Canucks. Nice to see the Hughes brothers getting
doing
nominated
together.
Yeah. Jack Eichel of the Vegas Golden Knights, Tom Wilson of the Washington Capitals, and Joss Morrissey of the Winnipeg Jets. So those are the nominees. As a reminder, whoever gets the most votes will receive a $25,000 donation to benefit a charity of their choice. And new this year, the winner will also be eligible to elect that his club receive a grant from the NHL up to $20,000 to help organize a special activation related to their humanitarian cause, which I think is super awesome. And I can't wait to see where that money goes to for whoever wins it. If you are a winner of the King Clancy, I can't imagine that you would not elect to also get $20,000 in for a special activation. That's a fuck ton of money to be able to put on an event. So
yeah.
So hope we'll see that soon.
Your last four winners of the King Clancy Award were Mikhail Backlund with the Calgary Flames, 2021-2022 is PK Subban, 2020-2021 was Pekka Rinne from the Nashville Predators, 2019-2020 was Matt Dumba when he was with the Wild.
Minnesota Wild. Very nice.
Yeah.
We also have the Bill Masterson trophy nominees. This one is the Masterson Trophy is awarded to, there we go, scroll. It's awarded under the trusteeship of the PWHA, which is the Professional Hockey Writers Association, because we don't really say that acronym much on the show, so I wanted to make sure spell that out. And is given to a player who best exemplifies the quality of perseverance, sportsmanship, and dedication to hockey. So those nominees have also just been announced. We have Urho Vakanainen of the Anaheim Ducks, Connor Ingram of the Arizona Coyotes, Danton Heinen of the Boston Bruins, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen of the Buffalo Sabres.
A great name.
Oliver, I know, it's a long-ass name. I don't think it fits in like a Social Security form.
No, but it fits on the back of a jersey.
Barely.
Somehow.
Somehow. Oliver Kylington of the Calgary Flames. Frederick Anderson of the Carolina Hurricanes. Colin Blackwell of the Chicago Blackhawks. Jonathan Drouin of the Colorado Avalanche. Zach Werenski of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Nominated for a lot. Our boy Zach. Matt Duchene of the Dallas Stars. Alex Lyon. It's probably Lyon, but I like saying it the French way.
I think it is
Lyon. So I'm going to keep doing that. It is, but again, I'm going to say it the French way. Anyway, of the Detroit Red Wings, Vincent Descharnais of the Edmonton Oilers, Oliver Ekman-Larsson of the Florida Panthers, Victor Arvidsson of the Los Angeles Kings, Marco Rossi of the Minnesota Wild, Joel Armia of the Montreal Canadiens, Michael McCarron of the Nashville Predators, Curtis Lazar of the New Jersey Devils, Cal Clutterbuck of the New York Islanders, Jonathan Quick of the New York Rangers, Claude Giroux of the Ottawa Senators, Sean Couturier of the Philadelphia Flyers, Sidney Crosby of the Pittsburgh Penguins, Justin Bailey of the San Jose Sharks, Joey Decord of the Seattle Kraken, Nathan Walker of the St. Louis Blues, Mikey Iasamont of the Tampa Bay Lightning, Ilya Samsona of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Noah Juleson, sorry, just had a stroke, Noah Juleson of the Vancouver Canucks, Alex Petrangelo of the Vegas Golden Knights, TJ Oshie of the Washington Capitals, and Laurent Brossoit of the Winnipeg Jets are the nominees for this year.
This is a tough one because like so many players who've gone through so much adversity, and like I think the reason Sid's on there is because Sid's having a career year at 37. Like, and
in
Freddie
a team
Anderson
that is in fucking shambles.
Oh my god. Well, then you got Frederick Anderson, who had blood clots and like life changing, and he's back. Yeah. And can you imagine if Carolina wins the Stanley Cup?
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd like, awesome. That's huge.
And then also you have Oshii with his continued back problems and his concussion issues as well, because he was concussed more than once this season.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Once you have one, you're super susceptible to all.
Oh, I know. I lived it. Yeah, I lost count at five.
Yeah. Fair. So yeah, I think there's some really great nominees. Again, excited to see when the actual awardees are announced. And we'll keep you guys updated with that. We'll also keep you updated with the Hart Trophy and the Willie O'Ree Award. Messier, their leadership.
Calling it now. Nikita Kucherov is winning the Hart Trophy.
Okay.
No, I've been saying this for most of the season. He's easily been the most valuable fucking asset for that team. So I'm calling it right now. That's my prediction, is Nikita Kucherov.
I don't know, because I just feel like the Maple Leafs only got into the playoffs because of Austin Matthews. So,
and he did have 69 goals this season.
Yeah. That's one of those things where it's kind of like, that's a toss-up for me. It can go either way, and I'm not mad either
and
way.
And McDavid could be thrown in there. Like,
yeah. Although McDavid had more help than I think, personally, Austin had.
Well, he had to, because fuck.
Yeah. But yeah, we will keep you guys updated with those. Obviously, you know that. Yeah. So let's get into some bad boys and then some hearty boys. How's that sound? Real quick, we have no suspensions. Great news. And I don't think we actually have any new fines either.
I don't
so
think we do either.
They were well behaved up until now. We are now officially in the playoffs, though, so that will change.
Yeah.
That will 100% change. So no bad boys, which means Chris, it's now time for you to tell us who the Hurdy Boys are.
Indeed. Let me make sure I can find a...
Yeah. Which also, right. We're only going to mention the people for active
for
teams,
the teams
right?
that are yeah. still in the playoffs, because fuck yeah, everyone else.
Exactly. Okay.
Just all right. So we will start with the Boston Bruins. A couple new updates. Andrew Peak is out with a finger injury. That looks like that happened either yesterday or today. Derek Forbort still out with that undisclosed injury, but it looks like he should be back by tomorrow.
And I still love his name, Forbort.
Forbort.
That's fun.
Justin Brazeau looks like he won't be back until May. And obviously Matthew Poitras is done for the year. Moving on to Carolina, just a couple. Jesper Fast has an upper body injury. It looks like he should be back by the end of the week. And Brett Pesce is on here, lower body, and no timetable for him. Colorado Avalanche, Samuel Girard out with a concussion, should be back by the end of the week. Same with Justice Inunin. He has an illness, syphilis. he looks like he should be back by the end of the week. Everyone else is, except for Jonathan Drouin, who should be back by May, by the beginning of May. Everyone else is kind of done. It's still saying that there's a chance Gabriel Landeskog comes back. I think they'd be stupid to bring him back.
I think let the man rest.
Yeah.
You know?
Only one new one for Detroit, and that's Yanni Hakanpaa, but I feel like he's been on for a while.
You mean Dallas?
Dallas, yes. What did I say?
Detroit,
yeah.
Which would be hilarious, I know.
It would be. Yes, Dallas. Sorry. I can't read.
I can't either. It's fine.
For the Florida Panthers, Ryan Lomberg and Sam Bennett. Sam Bennett went out early in game two. Upper body, nothing disclosed since. Ryan Lomberg has an illness. So we will see what that transpires now. We'll see what that translates to. I'm having a hard time, y'all. I always have a hard time. Phoenix Copley is still the only thing for LA. Jesus, dude. We'll get through it. We'll get through it.
We'll be fine. There's fewer teams. We only have 16.
There's way fewer teams. Nothing new for the Islanders. A couple updates. Blake Wheeler for the New York Rangers should be back.
Did you
want to
skip Never mind.
What? The
Never
Islanders?
Mind. I'm dumb. Keep going.
Are you going to say New Jersey?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know where they are?
They're on the golf course.
That's where we are, too.
Yeah.
Blake Wheeler has a leg injury. Should be back, hopefully, by the end of the week. Philip Chytil, head injury.
Chytil.
Expected to be back at some point soon, within the next couple days.
I hope he's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully it's nothing too serious.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure I didn't skip any.
It feels like you're skipping people, but it's just because the bottom of the list has, like, fucking a bunch of people.
You know why? Because Edmonton's not on here. Like, there's some teams that aren't on here.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay.
Because mm-hmm. I have no injuries.
Yeah. Tampa Bay has a few. Hayden Fleury and Logan Brown both have undisclosed injuries. Logan Brown done for the year. Hayden Fleury should be back by the end of the week. Same with Jonas Johansson with a lower body injury. Expected back at some point within the next couple days. Toronto Maple Leafs. Bobby McCann has a lower body injury. Expected to be back within the next day or two. Looks like John Klingberg and Jake Muzzin are officially done for the year.
Bummer.
William Nylander, undisclosed injury, should be back within the next couple days. And Matt Murray, who I'm pretty sure I just saw playing a couple days ago, looks to be out for the next couple weeks. Vancouver Canucks, Thatcher Demko, undisclosed. He did miss game two. No timetable on that. This has been announced. Same with Tyler Myers, who also has an undisclosed injury. Tucker Poolman has a head injury, which we talked about last week, is done for the year. Vegas Golden Knights, Robin Lehner, we still know, probably won't play this year. He'll probably be back next year. And Nicholas Hague went out yesterday with an undisclosed injury.
Syphilis.
Yeah, maybe. Do we have anything new for Washington Capitals?
Iorio was a recent hit, the game one.
Okay.
He is out, upper body hit. He did not play today, I do not believe. Rasmus Sandin still recovering as well. Also do not believe he played. And then Nick Jensen with that terrifying stretcher hit. He's still not back, but he is doing better. So
that's good to know.
Those are the only updates we have. And then same, Backy, we still don't know if we'll ever see him again. And then Ethan Bear is still in the player assistance program.
Yeah. So I guess that just leaves Morgan Barron as for the Winnipeg Jets as the last one on the list. And he'll be back April 23rd, which is today as day of recording, with a lower body injury, which I don't know if he's playing right now.
I have not checked.
I will look right now. I already have it open. He is not playing.
Okay.
So
Morgan, hopefully we'll see him next game.
See him next game.
Yeah.
And that was me struggle-bussing my way through that.
It's okay. We survived. I will say one of my favorite parts about playoff season is the fact that games don't happen for your team every night. They have to give them a minimum of a day in between.
I know.
And more for travel when they have to travel back and forth. So that I always super love. Because sometimes during the season you have games back to back and then you skip a day and then and your third game and it's just it's too much.
Yeah,
it gets hard. Can't take it.
It's I like playoff hockey because it feels so much longer than it actually is.
Yeah.
There's only four rounds, if you count the Stanley Cup Finals, and it feels like it's months of playoffs.
Yeah.
Which is nice because of the day, at least one day break. It breaks it up. It makes it so we're not, every team's not on every night,
Yeah. Right. So you can actually see a ton more hockey.
Yes. I feel like you can. I feel like you can.
So, all right. Well, thank you for that, Chris. But you're not done talking, unfortunately. You've got to now tell us who our not so obscure player of the week is.
Okay.
But obscure in some ways.
In a couple ways.
In a couple ways. I'm ready for the obscureness.
So our obscure NHL player of the week the light one.
There we go.
That light one. Is a name that I would assume everyone that listens to this podcast knows. Patrick Hornquist. So I'm well aware that there is nothing obscure about Patrick Hornquist. And I'm well aware that he had quite a fantastic career, which we will discuss. Here's a fun fact. Drafted in 2005 by the Nashville Predators. You want to take a guess at where he was drafted?
I have no idea.
He was drafted last.
Really?
230th overall.
Wow, Mr.
Irrelevant. Irrelevant, 2005. Hey, do you know off the top of your head who the first overall pick was in 2005?
Wasn't that Crosby's year?
It was.
Yeah. I mean, that was a tough talent pool that year, to be fair.
All right, so let's take a look at the top 10. Your top 10 draft picks. Okay. Sidney Crosby went to the Penguins. Bobby Ryan, number 2 overall to Anaheim. Jack Johnson, number 3 to Carolina. Mm. Benoit Pouliot, number 4, to Minnesota Wild. Carey Price, number 5, to Montreal Canadiens. Other names that you should probably know. Anze Kopitar, Mark Stahl, Tuukka Rask.
Love Tuukka.
Let's see. Who else? TJ Oshie.
TJ.
Andrew Cogliano, Matt Pelech, Matt Niskanen. That's just the
all
first
names
round.
You're still saying.
That's just the first round.
Yeah.
Paul Stastny was in this draft. Mark-Edouard Vlasic, James Neal. This is me just quickly scrolling through here.
Yeah.
Chris Letang, Jonathan Quick. Ben Bishop.
Nice.
What is this? NHL All-Stars. I wish I had a thing of players that are still playing in the league. Keith Yandel, who is considered one of the Iron Men. Nicholas Hjalmarsson. Just so stacked. Just players that are still going. But yeah, 230th overall. Also, it's real fucking funny that he was picked last in a draft and won a Stanley Cup as a teammate of the guy who was picked first overall in that draft.
Very true.
Two-time Stanley Cup champion, Patrick Hornquist, 2016-2017 with the Pittsburgh Penguins. His career goes as followed. 901 career NHL games. Of that, he had 264 career goals, 279 career assists, for a total of 543 career points, with a small 466 penalty minutes.
Damn.
106 playoff appearances. He had 28 goals, 25 assists, 88 penalty minutes, 2 Stanley Cup championships, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Incredible.
Also, indeed, what else is incredible is winning a world championship as a representative of Team Sweden 2018.
There you go.
He won gold. Also winning a couple other bronze medals with Sweden. 2-time Stanley Cup champion. He announced last year his retirement from his 18-year career. I was a big Patrick Hornquist guy. I really liked him. And I was looking through my random picks as I always do. I was like, 2005, we'll see who the last player of the draft was. Patrick Hornquist. So,
I mean, again, crazy that, you know,
drafted last.
Yeah. When what his talent ended up being was much more deserving of a higher listing place, we'll say.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like, it's so funny to look at some of these players that are on this list, and I'm like, some of them I haven't even heard of, but then I scroll and see him, and I'm like, oh, I know that name.
Right. That's awesome.
That's the lowest.
Shout out to Patrick.
Shout out to Patrick Hornquist as our, also Ryan Reeves was in that draft. Fifth round.
That's insane.
Now I'm going with Nathan Gerby.
Now, if there's someone who deserved to be maybe a little bit lower on that list than Patrick Hornquist.
He was good at one point.
But would you Ryan ever Reeves. Say that he was better than Hornquist? I would not.
No.
I would
not. It blows my mind that Keith Yandle was drafted in the fourth round.
That's insane.
And he played over 1,100 career games.
Yeah.
Like, that's the Iron Man. Well, no, I'm sorry. He's not even the Iron Man anymore, because that's Phil Kessel.
No, because it's, what's his name, who eats a bag of shredded cheese before games.
Because he's a fucking psychopath, but it's...
Still, that's not even the worst pregame snack we've heard of, because I sent you that one earlier this week, Chris.
Oh my god, yeah, dude.
A fucking Carlson.
I like Erik Karlsson, but homie, what the fuck are you doing?
Bro, that is... For those who don't know, he eats pasta with Alfredo and meat sauce, red onions. There was something else that was just insane.
Ketchup.
And dips it in more Alfredo. It's a whole
fucking
thing.
Psychopath.
It is insane.
I'm Italian, and I've never said no to pasta or Alfredo, but
I'd say no to that.
Bro.
I would 100% say no to
I
that.
I would
There's
say
no way
to
that,
that
sits well in your stomach.
Heartbeat.
Insane. Anyway.
Yeah, that's fucking
crazy. With that, tell us what you think is an acceptable pregame snack. Some notable ones we've talked about recently, obviously, those two, and Alex Ovechkin eating hot Cheetos and a Subway footlong before games. Very strange. Odd choice with the hot Cheetos.
He's number two on the all-time goals list, so I don't know if I'm going to question him, though.
I'm going to question it, because I think maybe he could be number one a lot sooner if he cut back on the fucking hot Cheetos and Coke in his cup.
Yeah. Well, like, we said the same thing about Phil Kessel when he's the Stanley Cup champion, so I guess...
Right. And the number of fucking hot dogs that dude eats. Anyway, yeah, let us know what your favorite weird pregame snack, meal, whatever is. And also, let us know what you think... if there should be any consequences for people kind of messing with the cap room legally currently, do you think that should be changed? What would you like to see from that situation? We'd love to hear your thoughts on that down below. Also, like and subscribe. I know it's fucking lame to say it. We say it all the time, but it truly makes a difference. We are so grateful for all of you that listen to us, and we can't wait to bring you some more killer content as we work through these Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be sure to have plenty of hot takes coming up soon, I am sure.
And we will actually have Dave back to do a pick. Dave is going to...
We decided.
Yeah. Dave is going...
Did we decide to secret envelope it? I believe
we are.
Had last
we are
gonna, okay,
we're
going to
secret envelope it. And I'm going to have Dave... I'm going to have Dave record him holding up a picture or like a any sort of like paper or something, just saying who
newspaper,
he picks
yeah.
and why. And we won't get to see this until the end of the Stanley Cup Finals when we record, which will be fun because last year Dave accurately predicted the Stanley Cup Finals to a literal T. Like, I've never in my life, as someone who's played my entire life, watched this sport my whole life, I've never once been that perfect, and it pisses me off.
I know. But so that's why we decided this year, secret envelope, he's going to let us know, like, he's going to pre-record it, and then we'll see how accurate it is.
Yes.
Just that we don't have to, because the thing is that, and this is a little behind the curtain peek for you, as we were all watching the Stanley Cup last year and watching him get closer and closer to his predictions being right, we just got angrier and angrier.
We don't
want to
give Dave the satisfaction of being right, which pisses
all
of us off.
Exactly. So he'll be right later on, and they'll be like, oh man, crazy how you did that. That's cool.
No, whoa, man, that was nuts. Yeah.
It'll be exactly how it goes. But yes, thank you all so much for joining us this week for another episode of the Pucked Up Podcast. We will see you mother puckers in the face-off circle next week.